Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Maggie Mistel, class of 95, very proud Villanovan. And I wanted to get started right on time this afternoon, and or actually at noon, because I'm really excited to talk to you guys about expanding your network and expanding your opportunities. That's the focus of today's teleclass, sponsored by the Villanova Alumni Association. I want to thank Amy Lehman and her team at the Alumni Office for coordinating today. This actually came out of a workshop that I did for the Greater Philadelphia Chapter of the Alumni Association in December. And there were enough people who emailed me to say that they weren't able to attend and wanted to know how they could get help with their network as well. And that's where this teleclass came from. So hopefully you've all received the materials. It's a PowerPoint presentation I'm going to walk you through today, but not spend the entire time just speaking myself. You'll notice that this call is recorded. I did want to make that note. For other people who couldn't make it today, it'll be available for them after the fact, or if you want to listen again to some key points. The other piece of it, though, as well, is that I will have lots of time, or at least that's my goal, is to make sure that there's time for Q&A. So you're all muted when you join the call today, but if you want to unmute during the Q&A session and have a particular comment or question that you want to share, I encourage you to do that. You know, that's the beauty of our virtual world that we live in, so you can all participate if you'd like. And I'll be taking questions actually at the end of today's presentation just for ease of facilitation. I'll go through the slides and then keep track of your questions along the way, and I'll open things up at the end. So again, I'm Maggie Mistel, and I'm excited to be here today. I'm actually as I said, a class of 95 grad and graduated with my accounting degree from Villanova. I'll be sharing a little bit more about my career path, but as you've seen, I guess, from all the advertisements about this, I'm a career coach now, and I host my own radio show on Sirius XM called Making a Living. It's on every Friday at 4 o'clock, so perhaps there'll be a chance for you to join in that as well. I've had Jay Wright on the show. I talk about Villanova often, including career services and the great support I got there. So there's a lot of good press happening for Villanova because of the great things the network has done for me. And the goal is to allow you the same opportunities with today's focus on expanding your network and expanding your opportunities. Now, why do I say expand your network and expand your opportunities? I'm really still on the first slide with the title of today's workshop. Basically, what I've learned, I have a brother who's in a PhD program, not at Villanova, unfortunately, but he is studying information networks. And what he's learned through his research and what the studies are showing us is that it's not usually our direct contacts are of help to us, but it's usually the second and third degrees of separation, you know, the friends of friends, who lead to job opportunities or new connections or new projects. It's very interesting that way. We find that the real value comes from the second and third degree level contact. So it makes sense that when you expand your network, when you expand the number of people you do know closely, it's only going to expand the number of opportunities you have. So that's what we're going to focus on today, is how you do that. How do you make that happen for yourself, and how do you leverage the Nova Network in particular? Because it is growing stronger by the day, by the class, and it's absolutely something, as a career coach, I'll tell you, most people do not take advantage of their alumni networks or aren't sure how to do that, so we're going to cover that as well. I'm going on to the slide titled My Career Path, just to give you a sense for how much I've appreciated and benefited from networking, and perhaps you have as well in your own career. But going to Villanova for me, I did study accounting, and because of that, because of the internship program, was able to do well and land a job at Arthur Andersen, which was a great place to start my career. And I'll tell you, the Arthur Andersen network is quite powerful, and there's a lot of Villanovans a part of that. And it was actually my connections through Arthur Andersen and Villanova that got me into Martha Stewart Living Omni Media. It turns out that the head of HR was not only a former Arthur Andersen person, but she was the wife of a Villanovan. So again, we had so many different things to connect on. And she also had different ways to know that I was a quality worker, that when I was doing an informational interview with the head of HR at Martha Stewart, she actually offered me a position to do training and development for them, which led to 4 years of working at Martha Stewart and working my way up to head that department, and to be able to have the opportunity to do a Sirius XM radio show when Martha Stewart launched her channel there. So it's really amazing to me how these connections at just the right moments throughout my career, and I'm hopeful that you've had the same experience or would like to even have similar experiences, led not only to the opportunity to work at these great firms, but to do something like Sirius XM and have a radio show, and now be able to be on my own as a career consultant and have the support of these networks and gaining clients and being of service to people. So as you see there, the real key is to expand your network so that it can produce opportunities across industries, across companies, across fields, because if there's something we've learned with the economic challenges of the past 18 months, it's that things can change pretty quickly, and the most adaptable of us will not only survive, but thrive through this. So the beauty of the Villanova Network as well is that it is, and I'm on to the Nova Network slide, not only hardworking, successful, and social, but across industries. I mean, we are very well known for being very good in business, in nursing, in engineering. These are just some of the majors, and there's more, you know, that we're also known for. One thing I want to point out, though, is that, you know, you don't only need to be in business, nursing, or engineering to get benefit from the Nova Network. You know, we're known for being hardworking. We're known for being, you know, successful. We have alums who have done great things in their careers. The other wonderful thing I think about the Nova Network and the fact that there's almost 100 of you here today shows that we're social. We want to connect to each other. We want to connect to other people. And because of that, one thing I want you to really keep in mind is that you can actually get into, if you're interested in creative fields that aren't nursing, engineering, or business, the Nova Network can still be of service to you. Because just like it's your second and third degree connections that really help you, the Nova Network, the people in it, you know, all of us, have friends, have family members, have clients, or have colleagues that we've met throughout the years who are in different fields and different areas. So don't be narrow-minded. When you think of the Nova Network, I think that's one of the key points that I really want you to leave today's call with, is that you can expand beyond just the traditional things that we're known for as a university and still make connections that can be of support to your career, whatever field that you're in, because of the hardworking, successful, and social nature of the Nova Network. And I'll tell you, it doesn't hurt that we have this fabulous basketball team that, you know, is doing so well. It gives us another level at which to connect with colleagues and with fellow alums to become colleagues or clients. So I think it's really something that you can leverage and learn from. And the question is, well, how do you do that? You know, I know these great things about the Nova Network. That sounds wonderful. You know, and I know the people that I graduated with. You know, and I've gone to some events and met a few people, but I'm really not taking advantage fully of all the Nova Network can provide. Well, I'll tell you, I've learned a lot working with the Alumni Association. Goodness, it's probably been almost 5 years now, understanding the different tools available, and I'll get into those. There's also some very important and often overlooked ways to build a strategy for your network, and that's what I want to cover next. It's really about defining, building, and maintaining a solid network. So if you go to the slide entitled Key Steps to Expanding Your Network, you'll see on there what I find are the most important steps to really having a network that serves you as much as you are of service to it. And most people say, well, Maggie, I get it. I need to define my network. I need to build relationships. I get that I need to maintain contact. Well, then I say, well, why, you know, are you doing it? Are you making the time for your network? Just this week, I work with a lot of individuals on their careers, and just this week I was talking to a woman who unexpectedly is being separated from her company. She was terminated, and it's not performance-based. She's got a great record. It's just there's no longer any room for her. And it's been quite a wake-up call because she said, as much as I thought that I was, you know, maintaining my network, now I realize how much I haven't kept in touch. Now I realize how much, you know, I'm going to be reaching out to people who haven't heard from me in a while, and I'm going to be reaching out to them asking for something. And I really don't want that to be the first conversation. So these key steps to expanding your network are so important to do when you are doing well, when your career is moving forward. You know, these are not just the steps to take when you need something from your network. These are the steps to be taking now. And I'm going to get into detail about each of these steps and give you some things to think about. So if you have a piece of paper with you, if you've even printed out the PowerPoint, I'd like you to not only hear these questions today, but to take the time to start to think through what the answers are for you. Because I think the best outcome to today's call is that you feel not only that you know the steps to take, but that you're starting to think through what your perfect network is. You know, and you're starting to take steps. You have an action plan to build or, you know, maintain the solid relationships that you've had. And as I note there, we're going to include online and in-person strategies. One thing that I've been able to do because of my radio show and as a career coach, I mean, you know, I have a presence on Facebook and on Twitter and on LinkedIn, and I know how to use these tools and leverage them, and they are an important part of expanding and maintaining a solid network, and there's different uses for the different tools, so we'll get into the online strategies, but I'll tell you, still, nothing beats in person, and if there are more recent grads listening to this call, I'd say that that's probably the toughest challenge that you'll have is to incorporate the in-person strategies into your networking. You're used to online. All the technology is very easy for you, yet the in-person can be a little more difficult because it hasn't been as much a part of your social interaction. Well, guess what? Again, the Nova Network is very social, and we love to get together in person just as well as online, and you can learn a lot from older alums. That's another great benefit. We'll talk about how alums of different generations can also support each other. All right, so let's get into these steps to defining and building and maintaining a great network. So I'm on the slide that has number one, define the perfect network. If you're following along on the PowerPoint presentation, just let me reset for those of you if you just joined in. I'm Maggie Mistel. You're in the right place if you're a Nova alum because we're talking about how to expand your network and expand your opportunities. And we're talking about step one of the process to really do that, and that's defining what your perfect network looks like. And I use the word perfect deliberately. You do not have, I don't know about you, but I don't have, let me speak for myself, enough time to network with everybody. I love people. I would like to meet the entire world, but that's not possible, and that's not feasible. And you don't need to know everyone, but you do need to know the right people. And not necessarily only people who can help you, but people who are doing the work that you like to do, or work you aspire to do someday. We often think, well, why would someone who is successful want to talk to me? You know, great, Maggie, you're saying, you know, there is a title or a role that I aspire to, but I don't know how to get that person to have a conversation with me. Well, there's a tool that I think is one of the most underutilized from a career standpoint, and it's called the informational interview. I'm going to skip ahead to the next slide, which says informational interviewing to expand your network. Because what an informational interview is, it's not a job interview. You're not asking somebody for a job. You're truly asking them to tell you their career story. And I say it's a powerful tool because people cannot tell their story enough. If you genuinely are interested in following in someone's footsteps, in achieving the heights that they have achieved, if you tell them that, if you say, you know, Maggie, I would love to have a radio show someday, and the fact that you have one, I want to hear more about that. I'm going to take time to talk to you. And you can do the same thing with whoever it is you admire or want to be like. And believe me, people will take the time. And you can ask. I say 20 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes is a great place to start. To say, you know, do you have 15 to 20 minutes? Can I take you to get you a coffee? Can we have a phone call? Make it easy for them to say yes. And chances are, they'll take more than 20 minutes. I recently did this. I've expanded my network by expanding into cabaret singing. It's a fun hobby that I have. And because I'm always coaching people to follow their dreams, I figure I have to be following all of mine. And through my client network, I let my client network know, hey, guys, I'm doing this cabaret singing. I was just sharing this new interesting thing that I was, you know, for me interesting, that I was working on. And one of my clients introduced me to a cabaret singer who was a Villanova person in my network, also a client, who introduced me to another person. She's not a Novan, but very quality. And what was amazing, I asked her for 20 minutes. I said, I'll be at this location. If you want to meet me, I'll buy you a coffee. She stayed for an hour and a half telling me her story. And that's the power of informational interviewing, because you don't have to be the one doing all the talking. In fact, I'd encourage you not to be the one doing all the talking. You just have to be interested genuinely in the person that you're meeting with. And you can not only get information, but you build a relationship and rapport with this person, which absolutely expands your network. And now you're on their radar should some opportunities come up. This person I actually met with for cabaret introduced me to my band that I ended up using. She knew exactly the right people, and they turned out to be great people for me to work with. So even if these are personal, not just professional goals that you have, remember to think of the Nova Network. And I don't get paid to say this. It's truly what I genuinely believe and what I benefited from. So that's key. When you're defining your perfect network, I've gone back to that slide now, you want to think about an answer for yourself. Well, where am I going with all this? is it a lifestyle that you want? Are you a working parent and, you know, you would like to model yourself after somebody who has a more flexible lifestyle or work situation? Well, you can informational interview them as well. How'd you get to this point? What decisions did you make? How did you bring it up to your boss? You know, you do not have to figure everything out on your own. You just need to define what it is you want. What's your goal? What are you trying to achieve? And who's done that? Who can you learn from? Who's already accomplished what you'd like to accomplish? And that is, of course, bringing up the Nova Network itself. Because we have, I often ask people, you know, when I'm coaching them, they'll say, well, I want to do this, but I don't know anybody. You know, I want to make a career change. I was an accounting major, and now I do more psychology-based work and career coaching. It's like, well, I don't know anybody in psychology. All my contacts are in accounting. Well, you can ask your accounting network, hey, do you guys know anybody who's in psychology? Because, again, the power of the network is not just the person, the people you know, but the 2 and 3 degrees of separation of people they know. You can even ask them to ask their networks. And the Nova Network becomes even easier to leverage because there is an online database that you can search. You can search by major and understand, you know, what background people have. You can look at different job titles. You can look at different years. And you really can find people in the Nova Network who are doing amazing things and would be willing to speak to you. I'll tell you, you know, I get requests from Villanovans to informational interview, whether they have career questions or even just want to hear about what it's like to work in, you know, a company like Martha Stewart or even Arthur Andersen. And I'm much more apt to talk to the Villanovan and give them some time because that's the kind of network I believe in and want to support. Okay, so that's step one, defining what your perfect network is. Perhaps you've had a few moments to think about who or what you aspire to and thinking about how you might have those conversations is the next step. Number two, build solid relationships, right? That's the slide that I'm on if you're following along on the PowerPoint. Now, the one key thing about networking, and perhaps you've learned this as well, is that networking is about giving. And it took me years to learn this because I always felt like, you know, well, I need something, so who can I talk to, right? And that's how we started our conversation today. Who do I need to talk to because I need information from them or I need support? Well, that's helpful, but you'll get better results from those people if you have a solid relationship with them, right? You get the relationship, and then you get the results. So to build a solid relationship, you have to be somebody people want to associate with, and that means being someone who's known as a giver, known as a giver. And people say to me, well, Maggie, I don't know what I could possibly give. You know, this cabaret person, I'm like, you know, what could I possibly give? You know what I asked her about? Her day job is not cabaret singing. I asked her about her day job, and I said, is there any support that you need from a career standpoint? Because I'd be happy to help you. Even if you just want to brainstorm, I'll even do a free session with you. It was something that I could give. You may say, well, Maggie, I'm not a career coach, so I can't give that kind of support. But you could send an interesting article. You know, so say you have an informational conversation with someone you really admire. Through that conversation, you learn that they have an interest in sailing, or if they have an interest or a problem or challenge with managing employees. You learn something about them through that conversation. You can easily do a Google search to find an article or a white paper or a conference, something that they might find of interest or value based on the conversation. It's as easy and as simple as that. And you don't need to wait to do those kinds of things. When you come across an article that's of interest to someone in your network, send it to them. And be proactive about being someone people want to associate with and giving help before you need it. Another great way to give help, and perhaps some of you are or have been mentors, perhaps some of you have been mentored and realized how powerful and how helpful those mentors have been. One of the best things you can do is turn around and mentor younger alums. Villanova actually has an easy way for you to do that. On the alumni website, you can sign up, and you can tell them how often you want to be contacted. You can keep boundaries on it if you're busy and you really only want to be contacted once a month. It's very easy to set this kind of relationship up. And then you can have younger alums. You become a resource to these younger folks, which not only is rewarding in and of itself, but I don't know about you, but when I've mentored other people, I realize how much I know. Now, I often feel like there's so much more to learn. But when I mentor and I turn around and help somebody, you know, younger or less experienced than me, I realize how much I've learned. And that also is gratifying. And also it makes me a little more calm and a little more confident that I do know many things. Like, I've learned, and I have knowledge to share. And I think that's an often overlooked benefit of mentoring. The other beauty of mentoring is this is another aspect to your network. When I was at Martha Stewart Living OmniMedia in charge of training and development, one of the programs I had control over was the internship program. and I got to know all the interns every summer, and there were 20 to 25 of them, and I got to know each of them. They got to know me, and literally, gosh, it's been 4 years since I've worked there full-time, but just this past year, I had to reach out to one of those former interns for help, because guess what? She's not an intern anymore. She's an established Food Network TV star, and she worked her way in through the next Food Network star show. And it was amazing to me that here's this person that, you know, I had a summer of interaction with, got to know her professionally, and now I had to reach out to her to ask her some questions about media and how things worked with managers and agents. You know, and it was so helpful to me to have someone I could trust. So when you mentor younger alums, you may very well need some mentoring back from them. That's another important reason to get involved. You can also share your contacts and make introductions. Now, on that point, and again, I'm on the slide labeled number 2, building solid relationships. Sharing your contacts is important, and making introductions is important. And if any of you are on LinkedIn, you know how easy it could be. LinkedIn.com actually even enables technology so you can make an introduction online. But I'll tell you, what's interesting about introductions is I make sure, I'm very protective of my network. I do not make introductions unless I know the people I'm introducing can be of service to each other. And that's what you really want to remember when you're thinking about making introductions. And if you can proactively connect people to solve problems, of course, that's another great way. I know at one point I was thinking about, I am working on a book, and I didn't understand the process. And I was talking to a friend, and she said, well, you have to talk to this person. She's a publishing consultant, and she'll help you. And that one conversation, that informational interview for me, made all the difference. So share your contacts, and people will be more apt to share with you. Just make sure that you're making quality connections and not just connecting people for the sake of saying, look at me and how many people I know. The last piece of this is having a clear brand, and this has become even more important. One very interesting thing about working at Martha Stewart Living OmniMedia was understanding and seeing the Martha brand in action and how much integrity goes into that and in how important it is to be clear about what your brand is. The same thing applies to all of us, even if we're not in media or in, you know, domestic arts. Each one of us has a brand, and you need to know and be clear about what your brand is. And a key piece of that is to be able to share your accomplishments and quickly with other people in an elevator pitch kind of style, who you are and what you do. And if you're saying, well, yeah, I know what an elevator pitch is, but you haven't written one in a while, or you haven't practiced it, they say your elevator pitch should literally be something that you can recite on demand. And the beauty of that is you're very clear with people who you are and what you do. And I've actually included mine in the presentation. I've included it at the end of the presentation with a slide about the 15-second pitch. It's one of my favorite websites, 15secondpitch.com. If you go to the last slide of the presentation, it's 15secondpitch, 15secondpitch.com. You can actually create, for free, your pitch online. And it includes who you are, what you do, why you're the best at it, and what your call to action is. And based on this, my 15-second pitch is, my name is Maggie Mistel, and I'm a career coach specializing in helping people with their ideal careers. I've appeared on CNN as a career expert and host a weekly careers radio show on SiriusXM. Go to my website at maggiemistel.com to find out more on how you can land your dream job. So you see, I have this pitch because I've been able to go to 15-second pitch and create it. And I can memorize it. And when it comes to being clear about what my brand is, and people say, well, what is a career coach? What do you do? Or what's a career consultant? How does that work? It's at the tip of my tongue. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to a networking event and gone around the room or around the table to say who you are, and a person just rambles on about and goes off on 4 different tangents, it can be not only distracting, but it doesn't make that person someone that you really, doesn't make you feel like that person is someone you want to maintain contact with. It makes them seem scattered and unclear, and it's not really the clear brand that you want to project. Also, your online image, it helps to be clear about that. I think for a lot of folks, this has become easier. But you want to, there's a site called Zoom Info, if you're not familiar, zoominfo.com, which will tell you, you can type your name in, and it'll tell you all the different places that you show up on the internet. And that can be helpful because you want to maintain a clear online presence as much as offline, so you can actually manage what's out there about you and make sure that it's all clearly aligned. That's one of my favorite ones. And the idea of creating a blog, or actually even more importantly, I think commenting on blogs can help you define your brand as well. Assuming you're not in financial services or something where it's, you know, there's regulations around what comments you make, if you comment consistently on 2 or 3 or even 1 or 2 blogs that you believe in, you become known as a knowledgeable resource in that area. And you don't have to, you know, be in media or, you know, have a PhD to do this. You just need to be a thoughtful person who cares about the industry or cares about the, you know, the field that you're working in. And I would say that's a differentiator that a lot of people have not yet taken advantage of. They're starting to, and people are starting to get it more and more. But if you really chose one or two blogs that were ones that you appreciate the content, where you read them often and you could comment, you become known as part of that community. And that will also help you expand your network. All right. Step number three, maintaining contact. Now, I've been referencing LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, the alumni website for online ways to maintain contact. Why do I bring that up? Well, we have all these tools. Why not use them? Why not leverage them to make your networking easier? LinkedIn.com, I think, from my perspective, is the best place for professional networking. So you should absolutely, well, should, I shouldn't say should. You might want to, and I would recommend it, put your profile up on LinkedIn. There's a lot of different bells and whistles they've added, so they may say, oh, your profile is only 30% complete. But as long as it has your chronology, you know, that where you've worked and when, and some recommendations, it's a great place to start. Because LinkedIn is not only a good place to put yourself out there professionally, but it's a great place to start really connecting solidly with people I would call, you know, your first degrees of contact, the people that you really would help no matter what, believe in, would support, would write recommendations for, would make introductions for, the really people that you believe in. Because what LinkedIn has enabled, I don't know when the last time was you were on the site, but they keep expanding the abilities that you have for searching online. There's a search function in the top right-hand corner of LinkedIn.com where you can type in not only a job title or a company name, but you can type in people's names. You can type in all kinds of information. There's even an advanced search where you can look by location, job titles, company names, individuals' names. And the level of search that you get would be 2 and 3 degrees of separation out. So already, just by being on LinkedIn, you can expand your network to people who are beyond your immediate set and into that second and third degree, which we know is so powerful, which we know is the place where the opportunities come from. So I would encourage you, if you have not been on LinkedIn in a while, need to update your information, to go there. If you're not on at all, to go there. It's very easy, very intuitive. Start to put your information up and get your profile basically completed. You can always add to it later, but get your profile basically completed and start to get your references on LinkedIn.com. And that's one of my key questions when I do networking events. How current are your references? How current are your recommendations? When was the last time you asked people who you've worked with, who you've done a great job for, to give you a recommendation? You can ask on LinkedIn, and it's got a great process for even helping with wording and helping with criteria for which to base the recommendation on. So I would encourage you to do that if you haven't done that in a while and continue to maintain and add to those references. It's very public. People can very easily search and understand your brand very quickly and easily if you use a site like that. Facebook, I tend to use as more of a hybrid between social and professional, and everybody's different. You may want to keep your Facebook completely social and personal, but make sure you use the privacy settings to block out, because employers are using these tools to search for you and to find information about you. Not necessarily in a negative way, but if there's anything on there that you don't want people to see, you just want to be protective of that. I do think it's a great way, though, to connect. I've had a lot of not only fellow alums connect with me, but now Facebook has the pages, and the Greater Philadelphia chapter has a homepage. So many of the local, regional, different chapters will also have a great, easy way for you to attend events by being on Facebook. So, again, if you haven't been on Facebook, you want to check it out. The best advice that I got to get started was to just update my status. You create your profile and then update your status once a day. That's all it takes. That doesn't take long. And it gets you a presence and helps you start to understand how you want to be on Facebook without it being too overwhelming. Twitter, you can actually follow the Alumni Association on Twitter at @Villanova_alum, and I'm following that, and you get lots of interesting information. You can even ask questions and get a very quick response about certain things. But what I like about Twitter is that you can use it. You can post, and I would encourage you, again, if you have a clear brand and you have a message and you want to start putting it out there and becoming known in a certain way, it's great for that. You can also just use it to follow people that you appreciate, and it doesn't have to be just celebrities. All kinds of people across all different industries are on Twitter, and I'll use travel writers as an example. My husband, who is a NOVA alum as well, class of 95, has recently, in the last year, transitioned into travel writing. You can find him on Twitter. His Twitter handle, they call it, is Stay Adventurous. And what he has found, being a travel writer, is that there's a tremendous network of other travel writers there. He's connected with people in person. They meet, on Twitter, and then we'll meet in person. He's also gotten a lot of writing opportunities because of the connections made there. So with your industry, what you'll want to do, there's a search function on Twitter. You can start typing that in and seeing who's on, what they're saying, and if it's something you want to follow. If you're looking for great, how-tos on Twitter in particular, there's a great book called The Twitter Book that you can check out. If you go to LinkedIn, you can see I've recommended that book. I had the co-author on my one of the co-authors on my radio show, and it has a very big, big print, lots of pictures, way to explain what Twitter is and how to use it. So again, you could try that out. And of course, I've mentioned the Villanova alumni website, not only for the searchable database, but also the mentoring sign up. And there's always new events posted there as well. It's a great way to keep up to date. And there are the NOVA notes which come out to understand, get sent to your email box so you know what's going on. I would encourage you that to expand your NOVA network, you actually have to know what's going on in the NOVA network and participate in the events that you really want to be at. Don't do this out of obligation. Don't do this out of feeling like, I have to do, don't do it from that place. Do it from a place of fun and excitement and a belief that, that you care about your fellow Novans and you want to be of service, and that will lead to greater opportunities. That's the in-person events I talked about, the Alumni Association. There's always great volunteer projects, and you can join. I'll tell you, what I've learned, and perhaps you've seen this as well, when you put yourself out there, when you join a committee, right, or you take a leadership position in a chapter, an alumni chapter, you become known just by virtue of being in that position. Your name gets published. You might have to communicate out to the network. It's a great way to not only be of service but become known to your network that I would encourage you to consider if you're trying to expand your NOVA network and like leadership or like these kinds of roles. It's a great way to do it. All right, great. Now, you've heard me talk about defining your perfect network, building solid relationships, and maintaining contact. Now, the question I have for you is, well, what's your network going to do for you? What do you need it to do for you in this next year? We're still early in 2010. We're still early in the recovery as well. Things with the economy have been a challenge. I think it's been a wake-up call for a lot of people how important networking is and needs to continue to be. So my question for you is, what is your top priority goal for this year? What is it that you're trying to create for yourself? Is it a promotion? Is it a raise? Because people are still getting those even in this economy. And I know because I'm talking to people who are in those positions. So don't rule out what it is you really want. Do you want to make a career change in this new year? Are you looking for more work-life balance and flexibility? What is your goal? What is it that you'd most like to have happen for yourself? And even think of it as having a magic wand. I give my clients a magic wand, and I say, what's the ideal? At the end of 2010, you're looking back, what would you love to have happen in your career this year? And don't put any limitations on your thinking. Start there, because then we can apply these questions. Okay, so let's define your network. Who are the best people, the best events, the best, committees to join or associations to be a part of to help me given this goal? It becomes much easier to define who the network is when you know what your goal is. We talk about building. Well, do you know these people already that we're talking about that would help you? Or how might you offer help to them? How might you connect with them? Is it about doing an informational interview, or two, or three, or five? Is it about being a service and offering contacts or resources or job leads to people proactively? And then if you do know them, how often do you connect and maintain the network that you have, or do you only reach out when you need something? I'll tell you, Friday afternoons, when I was at Arthur Andersen, doing the corporate job was, a lot of hours, and I didn't have a ton of time to network, but I always thought Friday afternoon was the time I would make calls to different people in my network just to reach out and say hello. And I would spend probably an hour every Friday, and that hour every Friday helped me maintain contact with, hundreds of people, because you don't have to connect with everybody every day, but you do need to connect with them when you don't need something. That's what's most important. So those are some questions to ask yourself that I would encourage you, in order to leverage these types of tools for yourself, this is the way to do it. Define what you're trying to achieve, and then define the network, build it, and maintain it. And we can get into more specifics with the question and answer, which is coming up in just a few minutes here. But lastly, I just wanted to say, you know, we spent so far about half an hour, 35 minutes. This is valuable time, right? You can't get these minutes back, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're spending the time with me today. So in order for you to get the most out of this time, you need to do something with what you've heard here today. As my friend Barb likes to say, she says, I guarantee that if you do nothing, nothing will change. You know, you need to take steps. You need to take action from what you've heard today. And it doesn't mean you have to do everything that we talked about, but it does mean you need to do something. And that may mean conducting an informational interview with an alum that you don't know. It may mean going to the database, finding someone of interest, and reaching out to them. That may be scary. That may be uncomfortable for you. That may be something you've never done before. But now is the time to start when you don't need something from your network. If you are in a position, you're on this call because you do need something from your network, you can still conduct informational conversations first to build a relationship before you start to ask for things. It helps to really take an interest in somebody, build a relationship, and then go into detail about what you need. They'll appreciate that more than if you just reach out asking for help without taking an interest in them. This next piece about developing a mastermind group, perhaps you've heard of this term, or personal board of directors. You know, people, again, you know, if you have a small business or if you even just want to manage your career in this way, I have a personal board of directors. I like to go to about four or five different people for different things. Some people help me with business strategy. Some people help me with client strategy. Some people help me with new techniques and strategies for coaching. I have four or five different people that I go to who I take care of in terms of contacting them, you know, seeing if I can be of service, making connections and leads for them. You can do that for yourself, too. So don't think you have to just have, you know, you can have your network on LinkedIn. That's great. But you can also narrow that down to the top three, four, five people that you really want to go to, your own mastermind group, who can be of support. And believe me, people get value out of helping you. They, you know, it is gratifying to see someone succeed. So don't rule this out as a possibility. And the last piece I really love, recommending a fellow alum on LinkedIn. Because it's so easy for us to create these recommendations, if you really believe in someone's work, or if you really believe in, if you've seen them in a volunteer capacity, or if you've known them, even as a character recommendation, if you know that there's a quality person in our network, you know, check out LinkedIn.com and see if you can't make a recommendation of them. Because it goes a long way when we actually share the positive aspects of how we've been able to support each other. It goes a long way. Your word helping them goes a long way. Okay, so I'm on the question slide now, and I've talked enough, and I'm curious to hear, you can unmute yourself. Again, this call is being recorded, but don't worry, don't be shy. You can use your first name. You don't have to go into major detail if you don't want to, but I would like to open up the floor to questions at this point. Just unmute your phones, and if you like, I'm happy to take questions.
Hi, Maggie. It's Amy Lehman from Villanova.
Hi, Amy.
I just want to thank you for doing this session and reiterate that we did not compensate Maggie, but I appreciate all the plugs that she's given for our programs and the services available to alumni.
Did I miss anything, Amy, that you wanted to highlight?
I think that's pretty good. We know we're starting with, as you mentioned, Facebook, and we're in LinkedIn and on Twitter, so those are the newest things in addition to the Nova Network.
Fantastic. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks.
Again, this is your chance to get your specific career needs met. I know oftentimes these types of things are better when you can get your specific questions answered, so I'm happy to take those.
Good afternoon, Maggie. My name is Dennis Kelly from Pittsburgh. I'm Villanova class of 84.
Hi, Dennis.
Maggie, I have a question for you. I have been with my same company for 20 years, which I suppose makes me a little unusual, and I'm at a mid-career position. I'm not actively looking for another job, but you always want to have options. For people in my situation who are probably a little older than many of the people on the call and are pretty much established, do you have anything particular for people with more experience?
Dennis, I can't push the mentoring card enough. you know, I don't know about you. I don't know if you're mentoring anyone right now, you know, perhaps even within your firm you are, but if you could become known as even a mentor within your industry, right? So if there's an association that you're a part of, an industry association that you can either join, take a, I would say that that's where I would see it. Take a leadership role in the industry association and or mentor younger folks. That will help leverage your experience even further because you'll become known even further, right? Now is the time when you have that kind of experience to start to take on. You can even write articles. It depends on, you know, your what you think your best skills are. But if you are a leader, I would look for opportunities to take a leadership role in industry associations. You could write articles for the, you know, newsletters, whether they're online or off. It's another great way to get your experience out there. And I would look, if you're open to it, look for ways to mentor other folks. These are all great ways to leverage that experience so that you become known for it and beyond, you know, just your own firm. I think that's the only risk to working at one place for so long. I'm glad that you have that experience. You just need to make sure you're known beyond that company.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations on 20 years. It's wonderful.
20 years this year.
Congratulations. Wonderful. Really appreciate that. We need Nova alums like you, Dennis. I bet there's some people on the call who would like to be mentored by you. Again, taking calls or taking questions, all you need to do is unmute your phone. Any specifics that you have, it's fine. We all learn from each other, so don't be afraid to share specifically what it is you'd like to learn from a networking standpoint.
Hello, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Debbie. Debbie Grant. I'm actually a class of 87. And I'm at my company 10 years. I work for a very large oil company. How does networking work within a company with so many divisions and being global and so forth?
Oh, great question, Debbie. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay, so the best way is Arthur Andersen was a global firm. And what I found, first off, global firms tend to have affinity groups, or big firms tend to have affinity groups, they're called. So there might be women's networking groups, or I've seen them even for particular specialties, right, within, you know, even working parents. You know, different types of groups like to get together. And oftentimes, corporations will allow for this because they know it generates for their loyalty. So you might want to join an affinity group within your company. Do you know if they have anything like that?
Yes. Yes.
Are you a part of those?
I'm not a part of them, but I always see their acronyms come on in different events and,
right,
and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've been brought in to speak in larger corporations, usually by those groups.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, I'll say, interesting events. I hope the people thought so as well. But you can actually get a lot of benefit, not only from the events they do, but from the networking.
Okay.
The other key thing that I learned being in charge of learning and development from Martha Stewart, I mean, Martha Stewart was only about 700 employees, but it has four different divisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unless the training classes were absolutely a great way, the in-person ones were better than the online.
Right.
But if your firm offers any type of training courses, I would encourage you to take advantage of those from a networking standpoint, too.
Okay.
Because you're going to meet people, you know, even if you take something that's like leadership or management or communication,
mm-hmm.
you'll meet people across the company. And last but not least, don't be afraid to just reach out, cold, like use the company intranet, find a division that you know nothing about, and call up somebody and say, you know what, I'd love to just learn what you guys do. Would you mind talking to me for 15 minutes about it?
Okay.
And do an internal informational interview. I love doing those at Martha Stewart. I was always talking to people about what they did. Even if I wasn't interested career-wise, it just helps have a larger context for how your firm operates. So I would encourage you to do that.
Okay.
Thanks, Debbie. Congratulations on 10 years.
Thanks.
Got a lot of veterans on this call. I like it. That's the power of the Nova Network. See the hardworking, successful coming out and across industries already.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
My name's Joe Kachuki. I'm Villanova class of 82.
Did you say Joe?
Yes.
Hi, Joe.
And I was separated from my company in this recent economic turmoil. My town does not have a job networking group, so I decided to work with my local library to start one, and I really just never done anything like this. What tips would you recommend on starting a networking group?
Oh, great. Well, Joe, I credit to you for creating something. It's such a taking a leadership role like that sets you apart, and don't be afraid to bring that up on job interviews or informational interviews. Because I think it's the credit, it shows the caliber and integrity that you have. I'll tell you, I've been asked this question, and what I would encourage you to do, let's see, I know of, I've been approached by groups like this to speak, right, or do teleclasses or webinars, And I think that's a great thing to start with, because people need inspiration, and they need support, and they may even need skills or tools. So you may want to bring in some speakers. And I'll tell you, a lot of folks, anybody who's written a book, right, and has a book to sell, will be more apt to speak at a networking group like this, especially, obviously, if they have some kind of career-related book. And you can get them to speak on a topic, not just sell their book, but speak on a topic and sell books in the back of the room. I think that's a great way, because it gets people out, you know, out of their homes and into a networking space, but you're using the local library. And it, because they can sell their book, they've got an incentive to be there. So I like the speaking route. I think for me it's always generated a lot of good interaction and some more energy, which people in this transition state really need. So that's the place I would start.
Okay. Thank you.
Good
and thanks for sharing your time today with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Joe, where are you located? Do you mind sharing more about the group in case people on the call want to join?
Well, I'm in Wallingford, Connecticut. And the group hasn't started yet. I just started working with somebody at the local library to get this off the ground.
Okay, so if people are in Wallingford and they want to learn more, they should check out, they should contact the local library.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Good luck. Still taking questions. Don't be shy. This is your chance to get some free career coaching. Happy to serve the Villanova Network.
Hi, Maggie. It's Amy Lehman again. I think we might want to remind people how to unmute their phones, which is *6.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
That was in the beginning of the introduction when people signed on, but I'm not sure. Everyone wrote it down.
Great. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. *6 if you want to unmute, and you can ask questions now.
Maggie.
Yes.
Maggie, this is Lisa Akion, class of 89, Villanova.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I was just recently separated in December from Clear Channel Radio. I was there 11 years as the Director of Marketing and Promotion. And I, for the last 2 months, I've been doing some charity work to network within my in-town network. And it's been pretty positive. But in the last couple of days, I've considered actually starting my own company and doing marketing and promotions. What advice would you give to me to start my own company?
Wow. Congratulations, Lisa. It sounds like you've taken a really proactive approach to a difficult situation.
I'm trying.
Yeah, no, you're doing a great job. Now, can I ask, you're starting this business because you want to, or do you feel there's a need for it, too? Are you finding with your pro bono work that there are people seeking you out?
Yes, and I think with my abilities in the last 11 years with Clear Channel, I'm under contract with them right now until the middle of March, so I can't really even talk to my industry to get back into it due to my contract,
right.
But there's a lot of people that have interest, and I think on my abilities, I can do this. I'm
right.
Just ready to take the leap of faith and wanted some advice.
Great. Well, Lisa, you hit on something. There's a great book called The Success Principle by Jack Canfield. He's the same guy that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's called The Success Principle. I love this book because it's a compilation of success advice. It's very practical. And one of the things he talks about in there is your core genius, how every one of us has something that we're very good at, and our confidence is very high around that, and I can sense that with you. You just said it. I know I can do this. So what I would do if I were you is, first off, the biggest thing if you're starting your own business is to let people know that this is what you're doing. And a lot of people, Lisa, this is one thing I would caution you against. You know, so when I say that, let people know that you're credible, this is something you're really doing, they'll focus on the stationery and their website and, you know, they'll put all this money and time into creating the perfect business card or creating the perfect website. What I actually found opposite of that was, yes, it's important to have a presence online. It helps to have a web page, especially if you're, you know, a contractor like you're talking about or independent business owner. But it doesn't have to be everything, and it doesn't have to be, perfected. It just needs to be clear. So what I would encourage you to do to establish yourself as this business owner is to create a splash page, right, which is getting easier and easier. And if you're in marketing, you know, you probably even know how to do this. It's really just to have a page that says who you are. You know, use that elevator pitch format, right? Who you are, what you do, why you're the best at it, and what the call to action is. What do you want people to do? You want them to sign up as your clients? You want them to come to your classes? What do you want them to do? And then if you can include on that some testimonials from people you've served in your pro bono work, that counts. You know, include their titles, include the highest names you can find, or even include people who can recommend you. That's a great way to establish yourself and get basic business cards that really just get to the point. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. What you want to focus on is getting projects and getting support. So let your pro bono folks know, hey, guys, thanks for this help. I'm going to continue doing work for you, but I want you to know I do this now for a living. So send anybody my way. Hey, friends and family. Hey, Nova Network. This is what I do. Send people my way. I'm curious, Lisa, do you have a site now that you could we could tell people about?
No, I do not. I could give out my email address.
Yeah, let's do that. Great.
Okay, it's lacc1029@yahoo.com.
Great. So you have your website, lacc1029@yahoo.com, and people should contact you if they're interested in what?
Special events, marketing, promotion, and PR. That's what I do.
Special events.
And I'm on LinkedIn, and I find it extremely valuable. And I've been on it for quite a few years, so I think everything that you hit on, a lot of people should really use that as a resource.
Oh, great. And you know your LinkedIn page, for anybody else who's thinking about it, actually has a URL associated with it, a website name, that you can make, you can make it, any word that you want. Mine's called Careers Coach. It usually defaults to something generic, but you can make it, say, PR expert or marketing expert as well. And so if people go to Lisa and Accione, it's spelled A-C-C-H-I-O-N-E.
H-I-O-N-E.
Great. People can find you there as well. Yeah, just start marketing yourself, Lisa, and you have the talent in that.
I have one more question. Maggie, if we wanted to get a session with you privately, how do we do that?
Oh, just go to my website, maggiemistal.com. It's M-A-G-G-I-E-M-I-S-T-A-L. And there's a big, fat contact button in the middle of the page, more or less, that you can fill out what your career needs and goals are. Because I like to customize my approach to everybody. I don't do the exact same thing for every person. This way I can see what your needs are and then recommend something specific and let you know how we'd work together.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate the question as well.
Hey, Maggie.
Hi.
This is Joe Katuki again. May I add something to what you were sharing with Lisa?
Please.
Lisa, I'm a counselor with SCORE, an organization that does consulting for people who want to start a business or have an existing business. It's associated with the SBA. It's no-cost counseling. Go to score.org, and they'll really help you set up a business plan and get you started on putting your business together.
Well, thank you very much.
Great, Joe. And I'm familiar with SCORE, too, Joe, and I appreciate you bringing it up. It's a great resource, and I'm glad you're a part of it. It shows you the quality of the people that are involved. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Maggie, this is Becky Parks. I'm from class of 2004, and I relocated from the U.S., and I'm actually in the U.K. right now. So my Nova network really isn't quite as strong because I'm just starting it in London. I didn't know if you had any suggestions because, I've established a network with my MBA program here, but I'm looking to move to a different city in the U.K. and move down to London. So I didn't know if you'd have any additional tips aside from, trying the Nova network, like how else I could start to network and increase my network. I've been very active on LinkedIn, and I found that beneficial.
Right.
But I didn't know if you had any other tips by any chance.
Well, are you involved with the Nova groups that are on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I am on, I'm on the base alumni group, I guess. Maybe if there's more, I should check into that.
Yeah, just do a quick search. And same with Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you could do a search of Villanova and make sure there are other folks. I'll tell you, though, Becky, this goes back to, I think of myself, right? I'm not in the U.K., but I have contacts in the U.K., right?
Yeah.
And other Novans are like this, too. We may not physically be located there, but that doesn't mean we couldn't be of support to you. So what you might want to do is put a question out to, on LinkedIn, you can type a question in. Have you seen that section?
Okay. Yeah, no, we use it for projects here. So.
Yeah, so you might want to use it for yourself and say, I'm interested in networking with people who are in this area, in this field, or this location. You can even blame me. I just took this networking class, and you may be connected with folks there. Believe me, you can trust me. I'm a fellow alum, and I'm going to utilize the contact wisely. Would love any support.
Maggie,
don't be afraid to leverage people.
Thank you.
Maggie and Becky, this is Amy again from Villanova, and Becky is in luck because on March 22nd, where there is a reception for alumni and students in London, sponsored by Career Services and International Studies. The information is on our events calendar at alumni.villanova.edu, and you can register to sign up right there, and just make sure you give us your new contact information.
All right, I will. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Be that ask and you shall receive. Isn't that great? Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, Maggie.
Yes,
my name is Joanne Savio. I'm one of the older people probably on this call. I graduated in the class of 69. I was one of the first women graduates in non-nursing.
Wow, thank you. Appreciate it. Being a fellow female Villanova, and I appreciate your pioneering efforts.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, non-nursing. But my situation is kind of different. I have been out of the corporate workforce for 20 years. My son is a student at Villanova now. And I have been doing independent contract work. When you're out of work, or you're getting back into the workforce after being home for a while, they encourage you to take contract jobs, which I did. Do you have any advice for those of us who are in that age group who really would prefer not to do the contract work anymore?
What do you want, a full-time job?
I'd like a full-time job. I'm an instructional designer, and I just recently completed a master's degree, kind of late. So I feel like I'm new in that regard because e-learning and the kinds of things you're doing now is really what I want to concentrate on. I want to get out of the classroom and more into the design. But this sounds kind of gross, but most of the people that I worked for or the people I work with are in similarly situated. They're independent contractors, and the work has dried up, especially here in New Jersey, for a lot of the training.
Right.
And so, you know, we're all in the same boat. And along with that, a lot of the people that I worked for or worked with are retired.
Mm-hmm.
They can be helpful, but not that helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I am interested in learning more about LinkedIn. I guess I was a little hesitant about it, but they offer you this premium membership. Do you recommend those? I don't know what you would get from those extra things.
Yeah, well, I would start, let's see. So let me hit the LinkedIn question first because it's a little easier to start with. You don't have to get the premium membership. Just sign up. You could just sign up for free. And the free membership, what it does is it allows you to establish yourself and your own presence by filling out your profile. And it also allows you to start online connecting with the people you know.
Right, and I can see some of that. I was afraid to be too much online, you know, that sometimes it's a lack of privacy, but now I've heard good things about LinkedIn, so I probably
will. Yeah, LinkedIn is highly professional, so if you have privacy concerns, there's nothing on there that wouldn't be on a resume. You know, you don't have to put anything more, like there's no too much information. You know, you control over it as well.
Right.
I'll tell you, though, the other thing, and this comes back to training. So there's not a lack of need for skills, right?
Right.
If you really look at the economy, people need to have even more skills.
Oh, they do. Oh, right? They do. They need to work smarter. I absolutely agree. But companies don't always see that.
Right. So guess whose job it is to sell them on it?
Well, mine.
That's
but
right.
But what a lot of, especially in New Jersey, what's happening is the Department of Labor and Workforce Development is making arrangements with the community colleges to offer, quote, free training through
That's
their
right.
grants. So we become third-party contractors
That's
and
right.
don't have that one-on-one relationship with the client.
Right, you're one degree removed.
Because, yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
You can't give them the kind of consulting that they need.
Well, you may not want to do government work, Joanne.
Well,
just
I'd like
it's
to get out. That's what I want to get out of, yes, I do.
Doesn't mean you want to do it, because that may be the way it's set up. If you're saying, well, I don't want to do that kind of work, what I would do is not only leverage LinkedIn, but beyond that, I would say, what organizations, what companies in New York do I want, who do I think I can be of service to with my skills and experience? And literally,
well, I want to work for instructional design companies because there's a lot more of them out there now.
Okay.
And I think there's more of a demand for it, the blended learning and different kinds
Absolutely.
Of knowledge transfer.
Right. They're
really.
Even using gaming to get training.
Maximizing, like, institutional knowledge really is where they're headed.
Yeah, so it sounds like you know what you need to do. What's the challenge?
Networking. Well, I mean, I've kind of gotten back involved in the Villanova group a little bit since my son's a student there now, so I'm going to some of the alumni functions and things like that. But I do feel like I'm the oldest one in the group, and most people, like I said, are retiring, and here I'm looking to, you know, I feel like I have a lot more to offer, and I'd like to be active in the workforce a little longer, but I think they look at you and say, well, you've been, you know, an independent contractor for 20 years or 15 years, and are you really going to fit in a work environment? Yes,
right.
I will.
And then if you go in from a job interview standpoint, what I encourage my clients to do, Joanne, because I have a lot of mid-career and even older, you know.
Older.
Oh, yeah, more mature. Right, more experience.
Right, mature experience.
What I encourage them to do is the job interview can be more intimidating because you do feel that, You know, because those are the questions. And you can, in the job interview, say, hey, you might be thinking, how am I going to work in a company when I've been independent for this long? You can actually
proactively I'm usually interviewing with people that are considerably younger, in their 30s and 40s. And, you know, I think they are
And that's
a little...
probably going to be the case. You need to get comfortable with that. If you're going to interview,
you need to get
comfortable with
it. I'm comfortable with it. I mean, as a young manager, had older people working for me, and I was fine with it. So I understand that that can work, and they can be extremely useful to you, to me.
That's
when
right.
I was a younger manager, my older employees were, like, mentors to me.
So what's the concern? My concern
is they don't see that. I don't think they see that.
Whose
I think that there's
an
intimidation on the part of 30-year-olds and 4-year-olds of hiring a 62-year-old. Well, I don't know how to get around that.
Right. Part of it is your mindset around it, right? Going into the conversations, you know you're going to get this question, or at least it's going to be on their minds, even if they don't express it. Right? So if
right.
I were in that
situation, they're not going to express it. No, they won't express it.
No, but you can make it more comfortable with them by saying, hey, you know, if I were in your shoes, you could say this in an interview. I'd be concerned about hiring an older worker or hiring me because you look at my resume and you see all this independence. And you might think, is this person going to be able to work with a team? Well, let me tell you about a recent experience I had where I worked with a team.
Okay.
You can proactively address the concerns that you think they have. The
right.
other thing you can do is informational interview with some of these folks before you job interview. And you can talk to the 20 and 30-something managers and say, hey, what are you concerned about? Can you give me some advice as an older worker about what you look for? And do it in an informational interview standpoint. And I have advice on that in the presentation. But that's the way to go about it, too, is to get them to tell you outside of the job interview before you're going in. You see what I'm saying?
Did you also say that the Nova Network has a search feature? I guess I did not realize that.
It does,
that.
Yes. The alumni web to Amy, are you still on?
Yes. Oh, Amy.
Hi, I'm just unmuting now, yes.
Thank you. Can you answer that?
Yes. Under the Nova Network, if you go to alumni.villanova.edu,
right.
and click on Nova Network and register.
Yeah,
once
I'm registered.
Once you're logged in, you can do a simple search, which will just look for your friends by name or class year, and then you can also click on Advanced Search, which searches people by where they live, where they work, what their industry is, company names, that kind of thing.
Oh, I guess I've done that. Yes. Okay.
And we're just finishing up, we actually just finished up our data collection for the 2010 Alumni Today print directory, so if people are more comfortable with that,
will that information end up in the Nova Network?
Yes, it will. It all funnels together. Yeah, we're in the process of bringing that down now. But if people are interested, there's still opportunity to buy the print directory as well, and they can go to our website, alumni.villanova.edu, for information, or call us at 1-800-VILLANOVA.
Okay.
Great. Thanks,
Amy. Sounds
good. Joanne, I'll tell you, too, on this point, I can help you from a mindset standpoint as well. If you contact me at maggiemistle.com,
okay.
we can continue the conversation. And that goes for anybody. If you didn't get a chance to ask your question today and you still need support, you know, you can contact me and I'll be happy to help, you know,
okay.
answer your email, offer additional tips. If you need support coaching-wise, of course, that's always available too, but there's no pressure. If you just want to ask a few questions, that's fine too.
Okay.
MaggieMistle.com. Thank you, Joanne. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Everyone, I want to thank you for your time today. I appreciate this very valuable hour that we spent together. I hope you see it that way as well. And I want to leave you with a quote. It's an anonymous quote, but I think it really hits on what we talked about. All the so-called secrets of success won't work unless you do. Best of luck, everybody. I hope you use today's insights to really focus on where you want to go with your careers and get there. Thank you.